Rock Central Tuesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, here live in the Mobile Kintech studio at Rogers Arena. The Bonies just getting out on the ice as they get ready for the Canucks and New York Rangers tonight. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? Visit kintech.net. And if you want to be a part of the program, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. If you are listening live, that is how you interact with us. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at dunbarlumber.com. It was quite the day, quite the morning across the hockey world. A lot of different news bits that we want to get to, so let's get right into it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it and what has been a difficult start to the season for the Canucks with big absences. Thatcher Demko has not yet played a game. Brock Besser out with a concussion for the last week and a bit. Dakota Joshua had a scare with cancer that started just before training camp opened. There's been other absences as well. Now JT Miller is taking an indefinite leave for personal reasons. And as Patrick Alvin mentioned in the release today, right now our sole focus is making sure that JT knows the entire organization is here to support him. Out of respect to JT, we will have no further comment at this time. But for me, Sad, it was a shock seeing this news on JT Miller, and just wishing JT as quick a recovery and return to the lineup as it can be.
Yeah, honestly, man, when something like this happens, all you care about is the individual and whatever situation they're going through, whether it's just them or extends beyond them with their family, whatever it is, you just hope the best for everybody. And beyond that, I don't think there is much to say on that situation, right? Because when it's a personal matter, there's nothing to speculate on to me, right? And the other side of it, too, kind of becomes, until he comes back and until he is prepared to discuss things, if he wants to discuss things, we're not going to know what it is.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to let the situation play out. That's all you can do. And as far as how it affects you on the ice, you're losing one of your top players, your emotional leader, right? And what does this do to the team? By extension, as you mentioned, it's been a very challenging year already, right? The injuries have piled up. Now this situation adds on top of it as well. I think the team is now essentially in survival mode until they get healthy and until JT comes back. And that's my big takeaway from all this going on, because, yeah, you just wish people the best, let it play out. But there's a game tonight. They have a 6-game road trip coming up.
Yeah.
This is going to impact the team. So how do they get through this? And I think now it's about, how do you attack this problem? Because it's a big problem. No Demko, no Besser, no JT Miller.
Yep.
Dakota Joshua is just working his way back. Pedersen's finding his game, but hasn't fully found his game, yet he is getting a lot better.
Yep.
Garland may not play because he's on baby watch, which, hey, best to him, right? Like, exciting situation for him and his family, and we hope that goes great. And if he plays, gravy. If not, obviously you understand why. But now this team has to survive until you get healthy. And any thought of anything beyond that, it just kind of comes down to game to game. Like, to me, that's how I view covering this team now. It's like, we can't have any big picture conversation until we see guys coming back. For now, it's how do you survive until guys come back?
Yeah, I know there is a want to understand what's going on with JT, but as you mentioned, you know, that's his story to tell. And if he chooses not to tell it in the future, then that is his choice. Right now, all you can do is support him as best you can as his teammates and organizationally. And even as a fan, that's where it sits. As for the team on the ice, I'm not sure how they get through this. They've had one of the softest schedules in the league to this point of the season. They've taken advantage of it for the most part, right? With their schedule, with the amount of wins that they have, 9-5-3 on the season. Something you can certainly... a record that is more than fine to this point of the year, but now things are about to get a lot tougher. Rangers here tonight, a cup contender coming into the season. Then you head out on the road, an Eastern road swing that's going to take you through six cities in, what, 10 nights? Couple of different time zones. You're going through the central time zone to close it out in Minnesota. You're going to have a lot of tough spots coming up here in the next little while for a team that's going to be shorthanded no matter how you slice it. Brock Besser was on the ice this morning. That's great. Still don't really have a timetable for how he is going to progress back from the injury that he suffered. So you're still in a gray area with other big pieces on the roster like Demko, like Besser. So what do you do as a team when you are shorthanded? You can only expect so much from a team that is going to have considerably less talent than what we expected them to have coming into the season. And so this is a point of the year where you have to scratch and claw maybe to be 500, to manage through this period while guys get healthy and ultimately tread water, as the cliche goes. Make sure you keep in a playoff spot as best you can through this period of time. That doesn't mean the Canucks are punting games. It's just a reality of the situation with the roster that they have. Yeah, you're going to need Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes to level up and carry this team already more than they have, especially Quinn Hughes. How much more can you legitimately ask of what Quinn Hughes has already done?
And it's probably doing a bit too much right now.
You know, you kind of saw it in the last game. He's played 25, 27 minutes a night over these last couple. Did he have a ton of juice towards the end of that Nashville game when they're running him hot in that third period trying to get back in the game? Those are things that are going to be legitimate concerns as the season goes on, but there's only so much more you can ask of these guys. If you're Rick Tocchet, you have to find a way to get these guys to buy in and level up an extra 2, 3%. If every guy does that, you'll be fine. You'll be able to manage this. But ultimately, that's kind of what you're looking for. This isn't a time where you're like, oh, we really got to make hay. We got to win 8 of the next 10. Like, I don't know if that's on the cards right now for the Vancouver Canucks.
No, I think you can't think of it as, are they going to be able to maintain a spot in the top three of the division and perhaps fight for the division? It's more, can you go 500 over the trip? And guys are going to come back. It's a positive. Besser is skating.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to coming back from a head injury, you never know until you know.
Progression is probably not linear.
Yeah, but sometimes it is, but we don't know. So first day on the ice, that's positive, which puts it the earliest he could be back, I'd say at about a week if you're skating, and that's being, you know, optimistic. So we'll see if that happens or not, but he will come back hopefully here at some point. I think Demko, we'll talk about this as well. I think he's going to come back sometime on this road trip perhaps, right? If that happens, you're getting guys back, right? And that's a positive. So until you get back and those guys get up to full speed, can you go 500? And if you do that, don't lose ground. Like I the Canucks haven't, you know, done fantastic in the standings considering their schedule, right? But they're still above 500.
Yeah.
They're still on a point percentage that has them, what, just above 100 points over the course of the season if they continue this point percentage. So it's not a bad position to be in, but can you maintain this little cushion you have, right? It's not as big as we wanted it to be. And it should have been through 17 games, right? This team's been scuffling, trying to find its identity. But to your point, like, is this the moment now where the team just comes together and regains that identity? Now, we have a lot of new players we're talking about on this team now, and that takes some time for them to really gel and truly understand and become second nature with how they want to play. But is this going to be what expedites that and gets everybody back into that gear and at least perhaps you find your game until guys get healthy?
Yesterday I said that Rick Tocchet hasn't gotten the same level of buy-in that he had a year ago with this team. And I referenced the game against the New York Rangers early in the season last year. How fun of a night was that at Rogers Arena? This new-look Canucks team going toe-to-toe with the New York Rangers, who were expected to do big things last year. And the Rangers only scored on the power play. They had I think it was 2 5-on-3s in the game that they ended up scoring on, and they made the most of every opportunity, but they did not score on the Canucks 5-on-5, and they won in overtime when Elias Pettersson got tripped and they went back the other way because there was no call and ended up scoring.
Yeah.
You know, so it was it was a fun night at Rogers Arena because you saw the Canucks go toe-to-toe with a true contender in the league, and it looked credible the whole way. And you're like, man, there's some real building blocks here for this Canucks roster right now that you're impressed by. We haven't seen that as much this year, but the only way the Canucks are going to get through this now is to have that buy-in defensively. Now, I don't know if you completely punt on some of the things you were trying to build and create, you know, more plays off the rush and things like that. You've got to buy back into your foundation, your ultimate identity, and that's the play off the puck, because that's what's going to be that's what's going to help you get through this period of time.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, you know, you mentioned Hughes. He's been tremendous this season, and if he kind of gets back to what he was a few games ago, mm-hmm. now you have as impactful a player as there is in the NHL so far this year, right? Pedersen's finding his game. Does Pedersen take another level here? What you want to see now, too, is which players are going to really step up internally. Like, we've seen star players step up and carry a squad when guys get injured. Like, remember when McDavid went down and Draisaitl really took it up another level over that other guy step up for a while? Now, you can't maintain that over 30, 40 games. I mean, guys can only do what they can do. But can you do it for 5, 6, 7, 8 games? Maybe 10 games. And if you can do that, you buy time for guys to get back and get healthy. And at that point, you reassess about, okay, where are we in the standings? But I think for now, it's just, do you find a way to survive? And I'm looking at Pedersen tonight. Like, I'm looking at him and wondering, he spoke
about...
Well,
we've seen him be better, but we haven't seen him really take over a game.
No. Well, I think we've seen elements of it, but, like, him really looking for his shot.
Yeah.
And if he starts doing that, and if he, you know, does find another level, then that's going to really help you, you know, carry this team through at least the next few games.
It's a tough spot that the Canucks find themselves in, obviously. And right now, you know, you go into tonight a Rangers team that is loaded. Maybe they haven't played the best hockey that they can play right now, and maybe they've been bailed out by their all-world goaltender Igor Shesterkin lately, but they are still as dangerous a team as there is in the National Hockey League. And when you look at the Canucks lineup going into tonight, Pedersen, DeBrus, Sherwood, Suter, Joshua, maybe Garland if he is able to play tonight while on baby watch, Bluger, Heinen, Lekkerimäki, and then there's Ratu, Baines, and Hoglander. If Garland isn't able to go, I feel like they're going to end up with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. We'll have to see how things play out. But, you know, you have three guys on the roster, 3 forwards on the roster that either started or were expected or have spent time with the AHL roster. So that's a quarter of your forward group that started the season or has played AHL games this year. You know, it's really easy to see how, you know, this group isn't where we expected it to be, as deep a forward group as we had seen in Vancouver in a long time. Obviously, through all these injuries, you don't quite have that. And the only way to manage through that is play structured hockey.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say there is a positive for these guys to get these opportunities. It's early in the season. The Canucks have a little bit of a cushion. Like, again, we're not talking about the team being outside the playoff picture, right? So,
well, that's the coach speak part of it, right?
Yeah, it's but that's the thing.
Here's
it's
your
real
opportunity. Now you got to show. Now you got to show something.
But it's real, right?
Yeah.
Because it's early in the year. Like, you can really sell it. You should be selling it as, here's a chance for guys to level up. Here's a chance for you to get some experience. This is going to be valuable for you because it's a long season. And if you can, you know, get that through, again, like, we're not talking about, I don't think JT's going to be out for the entire season here or anything, right? Like, I don't expect, you know, Demko not to come back, Besser not to come back. I'm expecting all these guys to come back. So it's really, like, if you can just get through the next 10 games, essentially, if that's as long as it takes, perhaps, right? Just if you give guys time to get back and get healthy. But if you can do that and these guys get some ice time, like Lekkerimäki getting these games in, same thing with Ratu, right? And you go back to the minors later,
yeah,
now you know what to work on, and perhaps these guys can be better and bigger contributors to you for you down the season and when injuries happen. The whole point of this year was you have credible depth in the AHL. Well, now these guys are getting a chance to show that.
Yeah.
And can you actually be somebody the team can count on?
A big spot for some of those Canucks forwards. And, of course, you know, you're going to look to some of the guys like an Elias Pettersson, or as this texter says, Karn the Plumber. Time for Jake DeBrusk to earn that new contract that he signed. Time for him to step up. You know, those are the obvious things to look at right now. DeBrusk has been good in spurts. I think his finish can still level up a little bit here, and he's probably going to go on a streak. You just never know when that's going to come, but he's been around it more, and that Pettersson-DeBrusk-Sherwood line, you know, for everything that has gone on over the last couple of games and overall still not overly impressed with the Canucks team game, even against Chicago in the win and against Nashville on Sunday, that line was consistently dangerous on both nights for the Vancouver Canucks.
And I think we've already kind of felt the Jake DeBrusk experience. Part of the reason why, as much as he's been a productive player, he's also been a player that can frustrate you at times. Mm-hmm. Because you see when he's skating hard and he's playing hard and he's playing determined, he's a difference maker. He has good size. He skates well. He's good along the boards. He has nice hands. He can finish an opportunity. He can set up a teammate. And like we've seen him set up Pettersson, especially early when Pettersson was struggling for a number of opportunities. Pettersson just didn't finish them. But you don't see it consistently.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be frustrating. And that's what he has to kind of overall overcome to be a player who's more than just a second-line contributor. Because I want to see him play determined. And I don't think we've seen that enough this year.
To the Canucks Central Roundup, a couple of news bites apart from the big one surrounding JT Miller today. Brock Besser and Derek Forbert both skated. Forbert's been out of the lineup, got injured in practice a couple of weeks ago now and was slated as week-to-week by the Vancouver Canucks. Besser has been out since taking the hit from Tanner Jeannot, which was 10 days ago now, the last Thursday. So that's where it's at. And again, with Besser, you're not really sure, but him getting on the ice is a big step in his next progression towards getting back into the lineup. Garland is on baby watch, so hoping he and his partner have everything going well. Rick Tocchet did not rule him out for tonight's game, so we'll see how that develops with Connor Garland. And some other big news bites around the league today. Bruins, who the Canucks will play next week, or next Tuesday, they just fired their head coach, Jim Montgomery, after a big loss last night to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and what is his record? 120 and like 40-something?
Yeah, 40 like regulation losses since he took over.
Yeah, but clearly something went sideways.
Yeah.
You know, like that, I don't think it's, oh, he's not a good coach. Like sometimes it just goes off the rails. And when that trust is fully broken, which it looked like it was between the players and the coach.
Yeah. When you get pummeled, I don't mean any disrespect to Columbus, but when you get pummeled by Columbus and, you know, you're the Boston Bruins and how consistent a team they've been the last couple of years, it's surprising. They've had a lot of heavy losses this year. It's not just like they're losing 3-2. They're getting their teeth kicked in some nights.
Well, they're not playing with a lot of determination and heart, and that's a team that's always played hard.
Yeah.
And when you see that wane, it just tells you that, you know, he's not getting through anymore. He's a great coach, though. Like, I think he's going to end up going somewhere else, and they'll probably have a lot of success.
Well, I mean, the Bruins, they let go of Bruce Cassidy last. He went on to Vegas, ended up winning a cup there, and Jim Montgomery, I'm pretty sure he's not going to have any trouble finding an NHL gig in the not-so-distant future. One thing I always dislike when a coach does get let go, though, is everybody points to save percentage as if, well, the coach isn't getting good goaltending, and that's the reason that he is ending up getting the can right now. And the Bruins, .883 team save percentage to this point of the season. We saw it with Jay Woodcroft last year. It was .864. The Wild last year was .872 when Dean Evason got let go. But I always like to remind people, save percentage is not strictly a goalie statistic.
It's a team stat.
So it's not like, yes, the goalie isn't making saves, but to pin it just on the goaltender would be incorrect in my estimation, because team defense save percentage is a team statistic. And like we saw with the Oilers last year before they let Woodcroft go, I mean, they may not have been giving up a ton of high danger chances, but they were giving up odd man rush after odd man rush after odd man rush. It's like, yeah, Stuart Skinner hasn't been good, but also the defense in front of him hasn't been good. Two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, well, we saw that with the Canucks, too, under Boudreau, with Demko. He had struggles in that first half of the season. It wasn't because Demko's a bad goaltender. It's because what can you do when there's a backdoor tapping that's just happening?
Yeah, it's tough. And we'll see what happens with the Bruins. But, yes, Jeremy Swayman, to this point, has absolutely not lived up to his new contract after missing training camp. And the other one, which apparently I'm being blamed for, Alex Ovechkin, out with a lower leg injury and is listed as week to week.
Listen, I don't believe in jinxes, but I'll make an exception this one time and blame you for it, Reach. The Reach jinx seems to be real. Like, why'd you have to do, like, last year?
I had the Italians in my mentions being like, you gave him a locchio, man. As soon as send out this tweet, he gets injured. What's going on?
Well, see, the thing is, you didn't respect the powers that you have, because last year you called him out and said he's washed, he's never going to get the record, and then he went off and scored, you know, 30 by the end of the season.
Yes.
And now you're like, not only is he going to get the record, he'll do it faster than Gretzky did. So, I mean, it's clear that you're a fault. Like, again, I don't believe in jinxes, but you have this rare power and you're abusing it.
So now you need to say, oh, he's not going to get healthy.
Yeah.
He's going to be out for a while.
He's going to be out for a while. Hope he does get back pretty quickly here, but he does need 27 goals in 43 games to end up with 895 in fewer games than Gretzky got to 894, which is pretty crazy if you think about it in that context. All right, coming up, Luke Fox is going to join us. His take on some of the big stories around the league, including what's going on in Vancouver. That's coming up next on Canuck Central.